that the Lord has given me is prosperous. And I've been meditating, and I realized that I would say a good majority of people want to be prosperous in one way or the other. Sometimes they want to have a nice bank account, or they might want to have nice homes and nice automobiles, and maybe if they get married, they want to have a nice family, all these things. They want to prosper. I was thinking how that when I was teaching, we try to instill in the children, well, even maybe in a sense, I do it with my grands too, is to be successful. So we want them to set goals and go in a path that would make them successful in life or prosperous. So we could say successful, being prosperous, those kind of go together. But a lot of times people set out to get prosperity in a way that, in their own way, and they leave God out. And even if they prosper, as it may seem in this life, it's only temporary. But God has a plan for us to prosper. And the good thing, we can be encouraged that He does want us to prosper, and He wants us to be successful. Well, we have to go His way in order to do that. So we want to talk about it. Let's go to Joshua 1:8. There are a lot of people that have been prosperous, but they're not happy. But if we go the way God intends for us, we will be prosperous. I'm not saying that we will have the money and the cars and the all these, but God's blessings will be upon us. So prosperity in God's sight is somewhat different from the kind of prosperity we think of temporally. Yes, He does allow us, like Job, for instance. Job was a prosperous man. Job was a God-fearing man, and he was a rich man. But we don't need to think that strive for that kind of prosperity. We want to have a good life. We want God's blessings upon us. But if we strive for riches, sometimes people fall into various snares. So that's not the kind of prosperity we want to strive for. Read Joshua 1:8.
This book of the law shall not depart out of my mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success.
Okay, so he's talking about the book of the law, the word of God. If we follow the word of God, there is prosperity. God will give us a certain amount of prosperity, and He will bless us. We'll have good success. Let's read Deuteronomy 11:26.
Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. And a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods, which ye have not known.
So you see, God wants to bless us. He wants us to be prosperous. He wants us to have good success. But we must do His will. We must go his way. We must go into the Word of God and obey the Word of God. That's what's going to give us success in life. I basically, when I think of the path that I chose to work, I feel like the Lord helped me in many ways. But I didn't strive for money to try to get big bucks. But by me choosing God's way, he helped me during that time when I was working. And so he's able to help us that we can have a good life. And we can be happy. There is a scripture, and I have it, but I'm not sure where it is right now. It says, let me see if I can find it. I think it might be Proverbs 29:9. Let's see if that's the one. No, it's Proverbs 10:22. I'm sorry.
Proverbs 10:22. The blessings of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he added no sorrow with it.
See, when God bless you, you're not going to be sorry about it. You're not going to have something to regret. But do you know sometimes people get money, for instance, they do little legal things or dishonest things to get money so they could be rich. And they're sorry to that. Or they do things, the pleasures to make themselves happy, and then they're sorry to that. Sometimes it's like, for instance, one of the brothers was preaching. Brother Moles. He said that he had to go to this place to get his car fixed. And this young 21-year-old child boy said he was all bruised up, beat up, or whatever. And he said I had a wonderful time. He had a birthday. He had just turned 21. He had a birthday. And he went out, and I guess he felt that he's 21, so he could go and he could get alcohol now because he's 21. And so he had a fun time, he said. But he and his friend or something, they got into a fight, and, you know, he got beat up. He looked pretty, the effects of it didn't look so good. But yet he said it was good. You know, I've gotten older now. I can go out and I can drink alcohol. Nobody won't stop me and all this. I can buy my own alcohol, whatever. And he called himself having a good time. But Brother Mo said, you know what? It didn't look like fun to him. When he saw him all beat up, he thought, that's not the kind of fun I would want to have. Well, he thought, you know, he had a good time. But he was what? He might have been kind of hopping along, have some bruises and all that. The blessings of the Lord, it makes it rich and it adds no sorrow. But that was sorrow added to that, even though he didn't even realize it. But it was. And sometimes when people go out and they drink and they think, you know, I'm living it up. And then, but there's sorrow behind it. Person might go to the casino and they say, wow, I'm going to get a whole lot of money. I got $1,000 to blow, so I'm going. And they go out there and they blow it and they come back broke. But the blessings of the Lord, it makes rich and has no sorrow to it. Then I even know of one person that was so addicted to it till they couldn't even go to work. And they were a very smart person. It didn't make sense, you know. But they had gotten so into these games that they just couldn't break away and go to work. And it was a sorrow to it. But God wants us, if we follow the Lord's way, there won't be any sorrows, and yet there will be many blessings to us. Let's read on. So now we're going to go to Deuteronomy 30 and read verses 15 and 16. So people that's looking for prosperity, many times they're looking in the wrong place for it.
Deuteronomy 30 and 15 and 16. See, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it.
See, if we love God, let's put God first. If we love him with all our heart, and if we obey his commandments, God's blessings will be upon us. I think I told you this, my daughter Becky, the one that passed me, she was talking to me one time. She's after my husband died, she said, Mom, what would you like? What, in other words, what do you want in life? Is it something that you would like to have or something? I said to her, I said, Becky, I've had everything. God has given me everything I wanted. He's so living for him. He gave me the things I wanted. I wanted a family. He gave it to me. I wanted children. He gave it to me. I wanted a certain kind of house, and he let me have that. And I could not look and see anything else that I really needed or wanted. And because God has blessed me, living for God, he's going to bless us. He's going to cause us to prosper. He's going to cause us to have good success. Let's go to Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 6. You know, God's plan works. And it brings, you know, sometimes people will take their money and they'll invest in stocks. They'll invest in different things. Excuse me, sometimes the stock market might fall and their money is gone. Or they may invest in different things like 401ks and all that, and expect dividends. But you know, when we invest in God, it's going to bring great dividends. It's like getting rich. But we're rich in eternal things. See, these things are passing away. Have you seen anybody take all their riches with them when they die? Some people might put some money in that casket, but I'm willing to believe if they put a lot of money in that casket, it's not going to stay there. Somebody probably going to dig that casket up and get that money out. We can't take it with us. But to think the things that God gives us, the riches and the blessings, we can take it with us. They're eternal. We're blessed here, and then we'll be blessed in eternity. Did you get Deuteronomy?
And it came, Deuteronomy 28 and 1. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, and observe and do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shalt thou be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, and the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out.
What? Who wouldn't want that? It's a win-win situation. When you give your heart to the Lord and you obey his commandments, everywhere you turn, he's blessing you. It's blessed shall be that he blesses you with the temporal things, the spiritual things. Even he blesses you in your health. I count it a privilege to be able to drive and not have an accident. It's just God's mercy. And I'm sure some people don't agree with it, but it is his mercy from time after time after time. And even if I didn't go driving, just riding in the car, you could just be riding in the car, have a good driver, and you could get in an accident. God blesses us. It's a blessing to serve him. And I want to encourage us to serve the Lord with all our heart. Put our whole heart into our service for him. It's going to bring dividends. We will be able to gain more than we put out for God. We can't be God-given. We can't give to the Lord's service too much, because he is going to bless us in return. Proverbs 28:29-9.
Keep therefore the words of this covenant and do them, that ye may prosper in all that ye do.
We want to prosper in everything we do. We don't want the hand of God to be against us. Now, the difference in the prosperity that we get in this life on our own and the prosperity that God gives us, his has eternal value. You will get this in this life, and then there is a scripture in the Bible, and Jesus said, if you have forsaken father, mother, sister, brother, children, for my sake in the gospel, you will get in this world 100-fold, and in the world to come, eternal life. That's the way the blessings of God work. It works not only in this life, but in the life to come. And so I'm claiming my 100-fold. I've got a whole lot of adopted children and family. I'm claiming my 100-fold. All right. Now, let's look at how that sometimes the devil just try to deceive us and make us think that our way is better than God's way. But we want to go God's way. Let's read two verses. One, Proverbs 14 and 12, and Proverbs 16 and 25.
14 and 12 says, there is a way which seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death.
So you see, sometimes the devil make you say, oh no, don't go that way. Don't, it's too hard. You know, it's an old fogey way. Don't do that. Do your way. And so many times we might feel like the Lord may say, go this way. His word tells you to go this way. But we look at it and feel like that's the hard way. But his way is not hard. The Lord's way is not hard. It's easy. He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So we can choose God's way and we'll never regret it. Proverbs 16:25.
There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death.
Those are both scriptures In 14 and 12 and 16 and 25 says the same thing. The same right way is not the right way. It is the way of death. Going God's way is the way of life. Life in this world and life in eternity. Sometimes people have chosen their own way and they lose their physical life. But we can trust God and go His way. He will take care of us. Now, I want us to look at Balaam. In Numbers, we're going to read several scriptures. There was a man named Balaam. Barak, I think it was, wanted him to curse the people of God. They were conquering other people, and he wanted them to be cursed so they could be cursed. But the Lord didn't want him to do that. So let's go to Numbers 22. We're going to read 5 and 6. This is a man that knew what God wanted him to do.
He sent messengers, therefore, unto Balaam, the son of Beor, to the garden, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, Behold, there is a people come out from Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. Come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure I shall prevail, that we may smite them, and that I may drive them out of the land. For I wot that he whom thou blessest is blessed, and he whom thou cursest is cursed.
Okay, now skip down to verse 11 and read verses 11 to 18.
Behold, there is a people come out of Egypt which covereth the face of the earth. Come now, curse me them. Peradventure I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. And God said unto Balaam, Thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. And Balaam rose up in the morning and said unto the princes of Balak, Get you into your land, for the Lord refuses to give me leave to go with you. And the princes of Moab rose up, and they went unto Balaam, and said, Balaam refuses to come with us.
Keep going.
And Balak sent yet again princes more and more honorable than they. And they came to Balaam and said to him, Thus saith Balak the son of Zippor, Let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me, for I will promote thee unto very great honor, and I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people. And Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, If Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more.
Okay, do you see what's happening? Balak wanted Balaam to curse the people of God because they were so mighty, and he wanted them to be cursed. But God had told him not to do it. And yet he just pled with him. He said, Let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me. I will promote you unto a great honor, and I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people. Okay, so Balaam said that even if he give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. In other words, God has said do it, and I must obey God. But I want you to see what happened. This man kept on, and then Balaam decided, read 19.
Now therefore I pray you, tarry ye also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more.
Okay, stop. He knew what the Lord had said, right? But then he's going to go and try to pray to the Lord more, thinking maybe he might change his mind. And so he did that. And you know, the Lord told him to go on with them. But his original decision was don't do it. He said, go on, and whatever I say, say it. But when we look and we read, we find that God, even though he told him, let's go down into, okay, and so he rose up and went with them. He saddled his ass and went with them. Now, look at verse 22.
And God's anger was kindled because he went. And the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him.
See, stop just a minute. He should have just said, I'm not going to do it, and let it alone. But he wouldn't. And he kept pursuing. To me, to do against the will of God is just about as foolish as what this man is getting ready to do. But, and if we want God's prosperity on us, we need to follow his way, not our way. And so I want you to go and read verses 23, 24, all the way down till I tell you to stop.
And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn. And the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field. And Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. But the angel of the Lord stood in the path of the vineyards, a wall being on this side and a wall on that side.
Okay, stop just a minute. So he's riding on his ass, and he sees an angel. Balaam doesn't see it, but the ass does. Keep reading.
And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself into the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he smote her again. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam, and Balaam's anger was kindled. And he smote the ass with the staff.
Stop just a minute. He was determined to keep going, right? But he didn't see the angel, but the ass did. Okay, read on.
And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, what have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times?
Okay, stop. What's happening here? Don't you think if you were on that ass, and he started talking, wouldn't that wake you up and let you know that something's wrong? I need to stop. God is not pleased with this. Read on.
And Balaam said to the ass, because thou hast mocked me, I would there were a sword in my hand, for now would I kill thee.
Stop just a minute. He not only heard the ass talking, he's talking back to him. See how foolish it is? Going our way is about as foolish as talking to a donkey. That is. Because there is no success in it. There's no prosperity in it. But when we go God's way, there is prosperity. And read on.
And the ass said unto Balaam, am not I thine ass, upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine until this day? And was I ever wont to do so unto thee? And he said, nay. Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me. And the ass saw me and turned from me these three times. Unless she had turned from me, surely now also I have slain thee and saved her alive. And Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, For I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Now, therefore, if it displease thee, I will get me back again.
Okay, you can stop. So he let him go on with them, but then instead of cursing them, he had to bless it. That's how it ended. But the fact that he was not going God's way, and do you know many times the Lord will put things in our way to stop us? We know we shouldn't be doing certain things, and the Lord will put something there to stop us, and we try to just go ahead just as Balaam did, and we have to suffer for it. That scripture say, blessed shalt thou be if you do the way of the Lord. But there is another side to it. There is severe consequences if we don't follow the way of God. Read Psalms 1:1.
Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters that bringeth forth its fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish.
Do you notice? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sins, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate day and night. There is a blessing when we follow, we read, meditate, and follow the law of the Lord, the way of the Lord. And it says he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of the water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. There is prosperity to following the way of God. Let's forsake our way. Let's forsake the way of the world. Let's forsake the way that's against God and go God's way. And he has prosperity and life and peace and joy and good. That one scripture we read that said, you should have good success. That is what we can expect if we will follow God's way. Let's go to Deuteronomy 28 and read verses 15 to 22. So we can look at all the prosperity that God has for us, but if we choose to go a different way, then there are serious consequences, severe consequences, to not following the way of God.
But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe, to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, then all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee.
Read on to 22.
Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shalt be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kine and the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest to in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall send upon thee cursings, vexations, and reproof, and all that thou settest thy hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed, and until thou perishest quickly, because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. The Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee, until he have consumed thee from off the land whither thou goest to possess it. The Lord shall smite thee with a consumption, and with a fever, and with an inflammation, and with an extreme burning, and with the sword, and with blasting, and with mildew, and they shall pursue thee until thou perish. And thy heaven that is over thy head shall be brass, and the earth that is under thy feet shall be iron.
That's good enough. We don't want God's cursings on us. It is essential that we do God's will and go his way, that his favor and his prosperity will be upon us. Now, I want us to look at Joseph. Joseph was an example of a person who had God's favor upon him. Let's go to Genesis 39 and someone read verses 1 through 6.
And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him out of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass that from the time that he had made him overseer in his house, and all over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessings of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not all he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well-favored.
See, he was prosperous because God was with him. If we will take the Lord's way, he will be with us. He will cause us to prosper as we go, maybe whatever way. Now, that doesn't mean that we won't have some hard times, because Joseph had hard times. It took 13 years of hard times for Joseph, but God was with him. Even let's read verse 7, 8, and 9.
And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said unto his master's wife, "Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath in my hand."
Read 9.
There is none greater in this house than I, either hath he kept back all things from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?
Notice the attitude he had. He was being tempted, but he cared about God's, what God would want. And he refused to yield to the temptation because he said, "How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" He not only didn't want to do it against his master, but he didn't want to grieve God either. And so everything that we do, if we could keep God in view, what he would have us to do, how he would have us to do, how he would have us to act and react, we can be blessed and prosper. And so at the end of the story, he ended up getting thrown in prison for resisting this temptation. But even when he went in prison, God was still with him. He still prospered him in prison and blessed him even in prison. But at the end, Joseph became second in command to Pharaoh. And so we can look at how God could bless us. If we live and do his will, God will prosper us. Pray for me.